As Bitcoin's value tumbles, is more regulation on the cards and the global funding drive to get more kids into schools? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. This morning, Japanese regulators raided Coincheck, a cryptocurrency exchange, after hackers stole more than $500 million of digital money last week. Now, Japan became the first country to regulate exchanges at the national level at a time when many other countries are wondering what to do. Simon Taylor is co-founder of 11FS, which advises on the future of money.
I think this event is very significant. It's almost a moment in time. We saw just before the holiday break and Christmas the massive growth in the price of Bitcoin, and now we're seeing the massive fall. What goes up must come down. There's still a massive lack of confidence that this signals to the market.
Now, we've seen Facebook banning cryptocurrency ads. India has said it doesn't see cryptocurrency as legal tender, and the SEC this week accused a firm of an outright scam in initial coin offerings. Do you think more regulation is inevitable?
Yes, well, the type of that regulation, I hope, is considered. What's interesting about Japan is their cryptocurrency law does a number of things that allow them to deal with exchanges when things go wrong, like they have, but also to encourage innovation. So, for example, their cryptocurrencies law has a white list of different coins or different tokens that have been approved and have been through a certain process. We haven't seen that in other countries, and where we have not seen that, we've seen some market abuses.
So going forward, the right kind of regulation could actually be good for cryptocurrencies.
If it's too harsh and too draconian, you risk killing innovation. There's a recognition, I think, at a global level that the technologies here represent a massive breakthrough, and indeed, sometimes the currencies themselves represent a massive breakthrough in ways we can trade and transact at distance, which could be hugely transformational for all of society. However, they are also subject to abuse and appropriate controls may be needed. And I'd like to see industry do that much more than regulators. But if industry doesn't, then I can see why regulators need to step in and protect investors and consumers.
Simon Taylor, let's do the numbers. Bitcoin trading is well below $9,000, marking a 55% drop from its all-time high notched in December. It's the third biggest decline in the last 5 years. It's also not a happy Friday for Deutsche Bank investors. Shares of Germany's largest bank plunged 6% after it posted worse than expected quarterly results due to weakness in investment banking and fixed income and currency trading. Now, the British Prime Minister Theresa May has left China with deals worth roughly $12 billion. Important, of course, as Britain tries to shore up trade deals as it leaves the European Union. The BBC's Laura Koonsberg has more from Shanghai.
Theresa May took her place alongside President Xi, one leader grappling to keep her party on board, next to another, almost unrivalled in his power. What they found in common, though, after 3 hours together, according to a senior UK official, was a genuine desire to do business and to pursue a way of increasing trade between the UK and China. After Brexit, international friends with deep pockets will have greater value. With this political push, Number 10 is content with progress so far.
What I'm seeing from this visit and what I think will come out of this visit is us being able to develop those links between the United Kingdom and China. Mm-hmm. Links on trade, of course, and business relations, but also the opportunity for people-to-people links. Links in education, for example. Mm-hmm. So we have developed this golden era of UK-China relations, but I think we can build on it still further.
While she's been thousands of miles away, though, concerns about her capabilities are rising at home. Theresa May wants the public to judge her not by the Westminster soap opera, but by what she actually does.
Laura Koonsberg. Now, it's an all-star cast in Senegal this morning. Rihanna joins the French president in trying to raise $3 billion to get 250,000 children into school worldwide. The Global Partnership for Education says missing school keeps kids poor for life, and it's asking governments to commit 20% of their budgets to education. The BBC's Leila Adjovi reports from Senegal on its own education issues.
A traffic light in central Dakar. Several small children are knocking on car windows asking for charity. They are talibés, pupils of Quranic schools called daras. The scenario is often the same. Masters take children from rural areas in the region, telling parents that they will give them a religious education in Dakar. but then the kids end up begging in the streets.
Antambo is the co-founder of the Children's Empire, a shelter for street children. She says the government doesn't do enough to regulate Quranic schools. I've been waiting for those new daras for 15 years. The day they come into being, you won't see any children here.
In March 2013, 9 pupils of a Quranic boarding school died in a fire. That prompted the government to draft a bill, but the measure has yet to be implemented. In the meantime, there are some attempts to improve the quality of education in Quranic schools. In a small classroom, about 40 tiny children are greeting their teacher. In a regular dara, most of the activities would revolve around memorizing the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet. There would be no playing with toys or drawing. There would be no girls, or at least not sitting in the same classroom with boys. But it's different here. There are over 5,000 Quranic schools here. Pressure is mounting for modernization. This is a secular Muslim country, but with very influential religious leaders. Striking the balance is one of the major challenges facing education in Senegal.
Leila Ajobi reporting. Finally, if you're stocking up on beer for the Super Bowl this Sunday, imbibe this. Once the world's largest beer consumer, Germany sold less last year than any year since reunification in 1990. Sales have dropped 17% over the past 25 years. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.